Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, August 3rd. City leaders to move $20 million into Parks Fund. Money generated from minerals has long been earmarked for parks. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The effort to improve parks inside the city of Midland will get a $20 million shot in the arm. The Midland City Council gave city staff its approval to move around $20 million out of an unappropriated fund, the city's savings, and into the so-called oil and gas fund that has been established to help fund improvements to parks across the city. City leaders have committed to take minerals revenue, those being drilled inside the city, except for at Midland's airports, and put those in the park special purpose, or oil fund. Before the fund was established, minerals revenue collected was put into the city's savings. City officials said Wednesday during the council's budget workshop that there would be around $23 million at the end of this fiscal year. That amount will become $43 million. Parks upgrades have been a priority for the council, which has used certificates of obligation, non-voter-approved debt, to improve Hogan Park and Reyes Mashburn-Nelms Park. Requested Parks Department projects presented to the council on Wednesday include Beale Soccer Field, $5.2 million, construction of two auxiliary fields at the Scarborough Sports Complex, $6.5 million, Wildcatter Trail Planning, a bike path between Midland and Odessa, $900,000, and a golf cart barn, $1 million. Officials also said the Scarborough Sports Complex continues to lose around $2 million a year. City officials said in May that they expected to have around $13.1 million in the sports complex fund at the end of the fiscal year. Other revenue opportunities, according to city staff, include the general fund and approving a new round of certificates of obligation, possibly up to $35.5 million. Work begins on $168 million proposed budget. Proposed rate ceiling likely to create tax increase. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Tax rate 101 for fiscal year 2023-24. Proposed tax rate 0.353162. 35.3162 cents per $100 valuation. Voter approved tax rate 0.380408. No new revenue rate 0.328693. City of Midland leaders have started the budget process for fiscal year 2024, and it has started with a likely property tax increase. City leaders have approved a tax rate ceiling of 35.3162 cents per $100 valuation. That is a 0.528% decrease from the adopted rate this year. Now, approving a ceiling means the tax rate could decrease, but it will take a sizable drop to reach a no new revenue rate or to match the valuation increases expected to happen across Midland. The City of Midland reported Wednesday during a budget workshop that the proposed rate from staff will mean $353.16 in taxes per $100,000 of home value. The city also reported an average home value of $380,000 inside Midland. Taxes for that home with the proposed rate would be $1,342, according to the city. The City of Midland reported that the average value of a home increased from $325,000 to $380,000, an increase of 16.9%. And even while state law caps valuation increases at 10% on homestead exemptions, not a rental home, commercial, or minerals, a valuation increase of that size would likely mean an increase of more than $100 in the average city tax bill compared to last year. A tax rate closer to the no new revenue rate of 32.8 cents per $100 valuation would keep the total tax bill more in line with fiscal year 2023. The first budget workshop also showed the City of Midland accounting for 23% of the tax bill for Midlanders. Midland ISD was 59%, Midland County 8%, Midland College 5%, and the Hospital District 5%. The budget workshop presentation also showed personnel accounts for 64% of the $168.5 million in general fund expenditures, those funded by property taxes, sales taxes, etc., and that the police and fire departments require the most expenditures. Four city departments will require 77% of the expenditures in fiscal year 2024, police 27%, fire 26%, engineering 14%, and community services 10%. City officials said Wednesday that the fire and police department require $89 million and that property taxes alone will bring in $60 million. Timeline: August 7th, the proposed budget is filed and posted to the City of Midland website. August 22nd, public hearing on the budget and tax rate, first readings of ordinances to adopt the budget and tax rate. August 29th, second readings of ordinances to adopt the budget and tax rate. Fialela eyes top county position. Business leader to run for Precinct 3 commissioner. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Stephen Fialela has announced his intentions to run for County Commissioner Precinct 3. Fialela will run for the Republican nomination in the spring of 2024. The current office occupant is Democrat Luis Sanchez. Fialela is a second-generation American business leader and community servant, according to a news release provided. Quote, he enters the race with a focus on prioritizing investment in community infrastructure, such as roads, bridges, and drainage, funding for first responders, and keeping our taxes low, the news release states. Fialela helped re-establish the Midland County Young Republicans, where he served as president for 3 years. He also has served as vice chair of the Midland County Republican Party. Fialela also has been a board member of the Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and he currently is a member of the City of Midland's Planning and Zoning Commission. Other community positions include spending time volunteering at his church and serving on the advisory committee for the Barbara Culver Juvenile Center. Quote, my parents were Mexican immigrants who came here with high hopes for good opportunities and security for their children, Fialela stated in the press release. That's what anyone in Midland County wants, and that's what our leaders need to be intentional about providing, but that hasn't been the reality in Precinct 3. The role of county commissioner is not just a step on the political ladder. I'm not about to let any of our citizens, our infrastructure, or our jobs go down because our representative isn't paying attention. I'm running for commissioner because I'm a hard worker with integrity who will put the interests of Midland County residents before a personal or political agenda, end quote. This will be a second run for elected office, as Vialela ran for Midland City Council District 2. More information about Vialela can be found on his website, StephenVialela.com. Midlander is dominating cooking contest. Linda Louise Lyle beating out veteran chefs, food bloggers, to remain top of Favorite Chef. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. If you've ever browsed through the Midland Area Foodies Facebook page, you've probably come across one of Linda Louise Lyle's homemade dishes. I don't mean lasagna or another layered meal. Prepped, cooked, and stored in Pyrex. A Linda original often includes a locally sourced cut of meat, delicately placed on top of vegetables and purees, garnished beautifully for extra perfection. Quote, I've always wanted to cook. Both my parents worked, so I would help with the dinner meals, and it just grew from there, Lyle explained. Since that first introduction as a child, food consistently provided Lyle with community. 5 years ago, she and her husband Douglas moved from Canada to the U.S. for work. The last 3.5 years have been in Midland, with move-in time being peak COVID season. Unable to go out and meet fellow community members, Lyle joined the Midland Area Foodies Facebook page. Now, page members beg in the comments to be a guest at the Lyle House for dinner. Quote, our real estate agency, quote, our real estate agent, Sam from Action Air Plumbing, most of my friends I've met through the foodie group, Lyle said. With a background in the medical field, Lyle never expected her food to impact people. Yet, an anonymous nomination into professional chef Carla Hall's nationwide favorite. Proved otherwise. After accepting the nomination and submitting her initial dishes for entry, Lyle has consistently been at the top, if not number one, in each round, beating out seasoned veterans and food bloggers with large followings. Based on votes, Lyle's position relies on the support she receives from friends, family, and strangers. With the opportunity to vote every 24 hours, Lyle needs all of Midland's help to keep her at the top in order to advance to the finals. If she won the title of favorite chef, she'd receive a $25,000 cash prize, a 2-page advertorial in Taste of Home magazine, and a chance to cook with Carla Hall, the ultimate foodie dream for Lyle. As for the money, her main priority is creating a scholarship for culinary students in Midland. Her second, an outdoor kitchen. Quote, I've always supported local, but even more now that all these locals are supporting me. I definitely want to give back. I can't do it without them, Lyle stated. All donation-based votes, different from the free, every 24-hour votes, go toward supporting the James Beard Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to culinary arts. Vote for Lyle at favcef.com/2023/Linda-Louise-Lyle.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, August 3rd. OFR history is rich, full of heroics. Back in 1988, when Odessa Fire Chief Bill Childress was retiring, the old-timers got to talking about his time with the department and that of his predecessor, Charlie Meadows, who served from 1944 to 1962. No one knew who predated Meadows. John Taylor decided to rectify that. Taylor joined the Odessa Fire Department in 1979 after serving 4 years as a Navy corpsman and was a bit of a history buff. The first thing he did was hit the library to research old Odessa American articles on microfiche. Almost immediately, the native Odessan was hooked. Kind of like when you read the Bible, you go back in time and picture yourself as David slaying Goliath. When you read newspaper articles from the 20s or 30s, you can almost visualize what it was like then, Taylor said. The more stories he heard, the deeper he dove into the research. When you first get on the fire department, you hear these old-timers talking about the big fires they fought. And while I was researching those stories they told me about, I would put them in a binder, and then whatever pictures I had of those fires, I would put them with the newspaper article. Every spare moment he had, Taylor was looking through old newspaper articles or interviewing long-retired firefighters. His obsession for history resulted in the 2005 creation of a website dedicated to Odessa Fire Department history, ofdhistory.org. Although he retired in 2006, he pushed on, and on May 4th, he published a 533-page history book on Amazon. The book contained more than 1,000 photos and news articles dating from 1927 to 2011, when the OFD changed its name to Odessa Fire Rescue. It was while he was researching OFD chiefs in 88 that he conducted his first interview. One of the firemen that was our battalion chief was Norman Price. Well, his dad was one of our first volunteer firemen from 1927, and his dad was still alive, Taylor said. Norman set up a deal where I could visit with his dad, who was in his 80s, and talk with him. I wound up putting together a video documentary because I met other former firefighters from the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and so on. He borrowed a lot of photographs from those men, and Bill Shoopman, a local freelance photographer, took pictures of those pictures for him, Taylor said. I've always been a history buff on American history and Texas history, and once I started meeting these old-timers and seeing their pictures, I just fell in love with the department, and I wanted to preserve it, Taylor said. Initially, he thought he'd just type up the department's history in chronological order and print out a copy for the city to keep. It turned out it was going to cost him $1 a page, and he'd collected 300 pages worth of history. At the suggestion of some friends, he decided to look into actually publishing his research as a book. When publishers wanted at least $20,000 up front, he turned to Amazon. Although it took a lot of time and effort to get it into the format and length Amazon wanted, Taylor was finally successful. He then had a trio of friends, Pat and Linda Land and Dale Land, go through the book to look for misspelled words and other errors. Pat Land spent more than 39 years with OFR before retiring as a battalion chief December 25, 2019. His brother Dale also retired from the department after serving 29 to 30 years. Land said over the years he and others were glad to help Taylor with this research, whether it was helping identify the folks in the photos, collecting articles, or proofreading. It's pretty cool. I like that kind of stuff, though. I think a lot of firemen, if they have traditional value, appreciate that kind of stuff, the history, Land said, Of course, our dad Doyle was a fireman in Midland, and we had several other firefighters in our family. When asked if he was particularly proud of anything within OFR's history, Taylor said he's proud of all of it. We seem to be leaders. We were the first in the state to have 911. We were the first in the state to have the Jaws of Life. We were the second or third in the state to have a paramedic program, and we were the first in the United States to have sonograms on our ambulances, Taylor said. We've really led in a lot of areas that you wouldn't think a small town would lead in. Land also pointed out OFR was on the cutting edge in other areas as well. When you get back into the 60s and I guess the 70s, the old field training was huge. People came from all around the world, Land said. It was unique training that took place. Anyone with an interest in Odessa history will enjoy the book, not just firefighters, Land said. Taylor is so proud of the department, he waived all his royalties. I was trying to keep the price of the book as low as I could so people can afford it, Taylor said. A lot of your retired firefighters, they've got pensions where they can't afford to spend a lot of money on a history book. I didn't write the book to make a profit. I wrote it to preserve our history. The retired firefighter also wants people to know he's got an arrangement with Amazon that will allow him to add the names of identified people in the book in the future. If anybody reads the book and they recognize a family member, they can send me an email that says, "That's my uncle, that's my great-grandfather," and I will add that to any future books, Taylor said. Taylor also hopes to come out with his second OFR history book in 2027 when the department will celebrate its 100th anniversary. Would you like one? If you'd like your own copy of Odessa Fire Department History Book, 1927 to 2011, visit Amazon.com. Amazon list prices, hardcover, $80.48, and paperback, $72.73. If you would like to identify anyone in John Taylor's book, email him at jtaylor@ofdhistory.org. Location offers optimism, concern over political climate, impact on students, and relentless pursuit of excellence were the main highlights of Ector County ISD's convocation Wednesday. The event, which is like a giant pep rally, was held at the Ector County Coliseum with people from across the district attending. One of the featured speakers, Ross Elementary School student Kevin Garcia, was woven into stories throughout the event to make the point of the impact teachers, principals, and staff can have on children. Lisa Wyman, president of the Education Foundation of Odessa, reviewed the work of the foundation, which awards grants to classroom teachers and puts books in the hands of students year-round, among other things. ECISD Board of Trustees Vice President Delma Avalos pointed out all of the things ECISD has to offer for teachers and thanked them for all they do. Superintendent Scott Murray also pointed out some of the exceptional people that are part of ECISD. Angela Brazil Smith, who played for the Charlotte Sting in the WNBA and is an assistant principal at Permian High School, and Rebecca Rhodes, Director of Nursing and Health Services, a decorated Air Force veteran, and John Promise, the new Odessa High School track and cross-country coach who ran in the Summer Olympics. All of the educators talked about their path to excellence and thanked the people who helped them along the way. ECISD graduate Rae Lynn Miller sang 225,600 minutes from the play and movie Rent, with some alternative lyrics for the convocation and a video about a mom whose three daughters joined the Navy as presented. Along with the positive, though, Mary said he is in his 36th year in education, and he has never felt more under attack than he does today. We in public education are under attack, so we have to be fearless in our pursuit of excellence, Mary said. Oblos mentioned the proposed bond issue in her remarks. Mary said the bond issue hasn't even been called, and people are already attacking what is good for our children. This superintendent isn't going to stand for that. We're going to be fearless because our children need us to be fearless on their behalf. Our state legislature did not do the work that needed to be done for public education in Texas, and I can tell you as an organization, we will be fearless as we deal with our state legislature to ensure that they appropriately fund public education, Mary said. Mary said Kevin Garcia and his 33,500 peers need the organizations to be fearless for them. We have 33,500 Kevins. They need and deserve that investment. We have to be fearless in the face of that. There's a political climate in our country that says we are brainwashing our children, that we're putting inappropriate books and material in their way, and that we are messing with their minds. Ladies and gentlemen, we are under attack, and this superintendent will not stand for that because that doesn't happen in this organization, he added. We will not sit back and let things be done to us any longer. We must be fearless in our impact upon the kids that we serve. So that is our challenge as an organization, is to think about Kevin every single day and ensure that we are fearless in the impact that we have upon him, his family, and our community, Miri said. Adriana Franco, a first-year first-grade teacher at Gonzales Elementary, said it was amazing to hear about how a whole bunch of ECISD teachers have done such great things and made an impact. I'm personally a first-year teacher, so hearing my peers making the impact is motivating me for this new year and what my new adventure is going to be, Franco said. Hayes STEAM Academy teacher Conrado Ramirez and Vanessa Rivas felt inspired by the convocation. Ramirez will be teaching second grade and Rivas fourth grade. Rivas said the presenters showed the students can see the impact they can make as adults. Students to take part in National Civics Bee. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation will host the National Civics Bee Texas State Finals from 1:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturday, August 5th at the George W. Bush Presidential Center in Dallas. Three Odessa students will be participating: Elijah Munoz from St. John's Episcopal School, Alina Ahmad from Harmony Science Academy, and Vasti Urias from Advanita Private School. Qualifying middle schoolers will compete in a live civics quiz followed by a public speaking round in front of a panel of judges. Along with Odessa, contestants include students from Pearland, Brownsville, and Fort Bend school districts who have won their local Civics Bee competitions. Recent data released by the Department of Education found that 79% of 8th graders are not proficient in civics. Through the Civics Bee, we are aiming to reverse this trend in Texas and across America. Lamisa man killed in Martin County crash. A 19-year-old Lamisa man was killed and three others were injured in a two-vehicle crash 13 miles north of Midland Monday morning. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, two Chevrolet Silverados were traveling south on State Highway 349 near mile marker 314 when one of them was struck from behind by the other while slowing down due to a prior crash. Broylin James Chavez, 19, an unrestrained passenger in a second pickup truck, died of his injuries. the occupants of the pickup that was struck, a 30-year-old Lamisa man and a 28-year-old Andrews man, were taken to Midland Memorial Hospital in stable condition. Both had been wearing seat belts. The driver of the other pickup, a 30-year-old Lamisa woman, was also taken to the hospital in stable condition. According to DPS, she had not been wearing a seatbelt. Governor Abbott appoints three to Texas Diabetes Council. Governor Greg Abbott has appointed Christopher Carmona, Sharon Lemons, and John Trishitti III to the Texas Diabetes Council for terms set to expire on February 1, 2029. The council addresses issues affecting people with diabetes in Texas and advises the Texas legislature on legislation that is needed to develop and maintain a statewide system of quality education services to all people with diabetes and health professionals who offer diabetes treatment and education. Christopher Carmona of Houston is managing member of the Carmona Firm PLLC. He is a member of the State Bar of Texas, American Bar Association, and the Houston Bar Association. Additionally, he is a volunteer member of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Carmona received a Bachelor of Arts from Marymount Manhattan College and a Juris Doctor from South Texas College of Law. Sharon Lemons of Saginaw is the lead dietitian of MHMR in Tarrant County. She currently serves as the Texas House of Delegates representative for the Behavioral Health Nutrition Council. Lemons received a Bachelor of Science in Diabetes and Nutritional Institutional Administration and a Master's of Science in Nutrition from Texas Women's University. John Trishitti III of Midland is the Executive Director of the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin. Trishitti received a Bachelor of Arts from Wayland Baptist University and a Master of Library Science from the University of North Texas. Odessa Study Club holds year-end meeting. The Odessa Study Club recently concluded the year's informative meetings with a salad luncheon held at the home of hostess Susan Leathers. The Hospitality Committee coordinated the event. Outgoing study club officers were presented with a coffee mug with the logo, "Let Me Overthink About It," and a pen engraved with Odessa Study Club. Installation of new officers for 2023-2024 were also held. Odessa student appointed to Texas Crime Stoppers Council. Odessa student Crime Stoppers member Cooper Aranda has been appointed to the Texas Crime Stoppers Council. Cooper, who is a senior at Odessa High School, will take the oath of office at 2 p.m. on Friday, August 4th, in the Honorable Judge Den Whalen's 70th District Courtroom on the third floor of the Ector County Courthouse, 300 North Grant Avenue. Cooper is the first student in the history of Texas Crime Stoppers to be appointed to the Texas Crime Stoppers Council. Tips to help keep kids safe for back to school. Texas students are about to strap on their favorite backpacks filled with supplies and the hope of a new year, and TxDOT is calling on everyone to be extra cautious in school zones and around school buses to help keep kids safe. School zones can be a chaotic place, with children possibly dashing in and out of traffic, and unfortunately, crashes can and do happen. In 2022, there were 746 traffic crashes in Texas school zones, resulting in 23 serious injuries. The most common causes were driver inattention, speeding, and failure to yield the right-of-way. There were also 7 people killed and 51 seriously injured last year in the 2,305 crashes involving a Texas school bus. Driver inattention and speed were also the top factors in those crashes. TxDOT urges drivers to slow down, pay attention, and follow all traffic laws to keep children safe and avoid costly fines and tickets. Tips for driving in school zones. Be aware that traffic patterns around schools may have changed since last year. Stay alert and put your phone away. Using a handheld electronic device while driving in an active school zone is against the law. Stop and yield for people in crosswalks. Always obey school zone speed limit signs. Remember, traffic fines increase in school zones. Drop off and pick up your children in your school's designated area, not the middle of the street. Keep an eye on children gathered at bus stops. Watch for children who might dart across the street or between vehicles. Tips for drivers sharing the road with school buses. Follow at a safe distance, keeping in mind that school buses make frequent stops. Always stay alert for children around buses and remember that they may not always look for vehicles before crossing the street. Stop for flashing red lights or a stop sign on a school bus, regardless of which direction you're headed. Continue your trip once the bus has moved, the flashing light stops flashing, or the bus driver signals it's okay to pass. Violations can lead up to a fine of $1,250 for a first offense. Tips for children walking or biking to school. Use sidewalks. If there's not a sidewalk, walk on the left side of the street facing traffic. Cross the street only at intersections or marked crosswalks. Look left, right, and left again before proceeding. Always obey crossing guards. Make eye contact with drivers before crossing the street. Never assume a driver sees you. Look for traffic when stepping off a bus or from behind parked vehicles. Always wear a helmet when riding a bicycle. Don't be distracted by electronic devices that take your eyes and ears off the road. Follow all traffic rules, signs, and signals. Be safe, be smart is a key component of hashtag In the Streak Texas, a broader social media and word-of-mouth effort that encourages drivers to make safer choices while behind the wheel to help end the streak of daily deaths. From November 7, 2000 was the last deathless day on Texas roadways. The information contained in this report represents reportable data collected from the Texas Peace Officers Crash Report, CR3. This information was received and processed by the department as of April 19th. To view additional traffic safety data, visit TxDOT's Traffic Safety Data Portal online. Synergy celebrates teachers with free movie tickets. Synergy Entertainment Group is gifting all teachers one free movie ticket per day from Monday, August 7th through Monday, August 14th in celebration of hardworking educators who selflessly devote their time and energy to our children's development, a press release said. All teachers are invited to visit their local Synergy location to enjoy one free movie ticket per day simply by presenting a valid teacher ID. Teachers play a vital role in shaping young minds, empowering future generations, and igniting a passion for learning. So this is Synergy's way of expressing their gratitude for their endless commitment. Back to School Bash Saturday at Music City Mall. Music City Mall is hosting its annual Back to School Bash from 2 to 5 p.m. Saturday, August 5th at Music City Mall, 42nd Street and JBS Parkway. The event is a mall-wide celebration, free and open to the public. Kids can bounce in the bounce house, take selfies with their favorite characters, and get a free balloon animal while you shop. Meet your favorite Transformer and hop on the 360 camera provided by Evolve 360 IM Entertainment. They will be giving away backpacks filled with school supplies, tablets, and shopping sprees worth $500, $250, or $100 to three lucky winners. Several stores will be giving away free goodies throughout the event. You must be present to win. Meet Matthew Alvarez from CBS 7 News and Patsy Casas from Telemundo 20. There will be live performances including hip, hop, and Letos on the carousel stage and meet and greet with local radio DJs. A grand prize drawing will be at 4:30 p.m. on Saturday. One Bite at a Time Ministries celebrates 1 year of empowering local cancer warriors. One Bite at a Time Ministries, a faith-based organization dedicated to providing support and resources to those battling cancer, is excited to mark its 1 year anniversary, a press release said. Since its inception, the organization has been a beacon of hope, helping cancer warriors fight with faith over fear by offering emotional, spiritual, and healing support. The mission of One Bite at a Time Ministries is to be a source of strength and comfort for individuals and families facing the challenges of cancer, with a focus on providing resources, prayer requests, and personalized gestures of support. The organization strives to infuse peace, hope, and trust into the lives of cancer fighters. At One Bite at a Time Ministries, we understand that the journey of battling cancer can be overwhelming, both emotionally and spiritually. Paula Gower, founder of One Bite at a Time Ministries, said in the release, "Our purpose is to walk alongside cancer warriors, empowering them to take one step at a time and overcome their fears with faith. It's truly heartwarming to see the positive impact we have had in the lives of those we support." The organization achieves its mission through various initiatives, including providing essential resources, creating a platform for prayer requests, and offering meaningful gestures of encouragement. One such heartwarming gesture is sending an elephant to loved ones with cancer, symbolizing strength, resilience, and unity in the face of adversity. For more information about One Bite at a Time Ministries and the services they offer, please visit their official website at onlyonebite.org. One Bite at a Time Ministries is a faith-based organization committed to supporting cancer warriors with emotional, spiritual, and healing resources. Their mission is to empower individuals and families facing cancer to overcome fear with faith, instilling hope, trust, and peace throughout their journey. OPD Back to School Block Party. The Odessa Police Department will hold its annual Back to School Block Party from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, August 5th at Floyd Gwynn Park, located at 1015 North County Road West. There will be food, drinks, popcorn, cotton candy, raffle prizes, and a limited number of backpacks given away to students. Visit tinyurl.com/yr96kzt5 for more information. Odessan accused of ramming wife's car. An Odessa man was arrested Tuesday on an aggravated assault with a deadly weapon warrant that was issued in June after his common law wife reported he purposely rammed her car. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Aiden Ricardo Narano Ramos's wife called 911 on June 19th to report that he'd followed her after she left their home during an argument and used his Nissan Sentra to hit her Ford Focus on Tanglewood Lane between Maple Avenue and 42nd Street. The 39-year-old woman said Ramos had threatened to kill her before, so she kept on driving. The report stated, Ramos, 31, stopped following her when she pulled in front of a hair salon on East 42nd Street, she said. Officers saw fresh damage to the woman's car and sought a warrant for the second-degree felony at that time. Ramos remained in the Ector County Jail on an Immigration and Customs Enforcement hold and a $40,000 surety bond in the assault case. He's also being held on a $2,000 surety bond in a July theft of mail case.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, August 2nd, 2023. Samaritan. Self-awareness can become self-discovery. What if I said a person could be able to understand themselves without self-doubt or hesitation? Wouldn't that be an ideal situation for everyone? It is possible to begin the journey of enlightening your life with self-awareness. I frequently come across many clients who have a healthy sense of self-awareness. Sometimes there are others unaware of their mind, body, and emotions. It occurs more often than we may believe. However, it is possible to change it for our life experience. When we are self-aware, we notice things more observantly, can pause and internally look at ourselves mindfully. Therapy can help explore that sense of self-awareness that may help one understand themselves more compassionately and gracefully. Ways to enhance an outlook on life through self-awareness includes asking oneself questions like, where and what am I feeling on my body at this moment? What emotions can I identify presently? What thoughts are coming to mind right now? Are they helping or harming me? What am I telling myself, and how is it affecting my internal beliefs? How significant are my body, emotions, and thoughts influencing my next step? Am I logically responding or emotionally reacting to others or experiences? We are allowed to accept ourselves presently as we are, and then we will be able to make changes to improve and grow. If we are more in tune with our emotions, thought processes, and body interactions, then we are more likely to gain insight to embracing who we are, and we can make healthier behavioral decisions that align with our desires and values. Self-awareness can be a vital key to opening the door to self-exploration. During therapy, we will continue to the process by utilizing appropriate coping skills, managing healthy decision-making, and maintaining self-enhancement to achieve better self-awareness. You have the capability to open your mind to opportunities and change your self-perceptions if you just give yourself permission. Evaluate what your body, mind, emotions, and self-concepts are saying to you. Call Samaritan Center today at 432-563-4144 to schedule a visit with a counselor or psychiatric nurse practitioner. Midland Health. Michelle Aubrey is the latest DAISY Award winner. Midland Health reported that Michelle Aubrey is the latest DAISY Award winner. Aubrey, BSN-RN, works in the same-day surgery unit and was nominated for the prestigious DAISY Award by a patient who was powerfully impacted by the care they received. The patient wrote the following, quote, Michelle is so compassionate, kind, Johnny on the spot, funny, and makes everyone feel taken care of. She made me feel comfortable during my visit to the hospital and made sure I had everything I needed. We know Michelle outside the hospital, and her caring spirit and smile are present 24/7. Her professionalism was first class in all aspects of our visit. She is so good at her job. We loved her. Thank you for everything, Michelle. End quote. Midland Health wrote, quote, it is because of Michelle's compassionate and caring efforts that her patient experienced a level of care that exemplifies the impact nurses have in creating an environment where patients and families feel at home. Congratulations, Michelle Aubrey. End quote. The DAISY Award is an international nursing recognition program created to honor nurses who provide extraordinary, compassionate care. Midland Memorial Hospital is one of over 4,900 healthcare facilities and schools of nursing worldwide that recognizes their nurses with this prestigious award. Anyone in the facility can nominate a nurse, be it a patient or visitor, another nurse, physician, or any other staff member. Anyone who experiences or observes extraordinary compassionate care being provided by a nurse. Midland Health reminds readers that have recently had an extraordinary experience with a nurse at Midland Memorial Hospital to submit a DAISY Award nomination at the following link. https://www.midlandhealth.org/main/DAISY-award-nomination-form. Weather. How your body can tolerate the heat. Large swaths of the world are sweltering amid a scorching hot summer. July is shaping up to be the Earth's hottest month in recorded history, with heat waves expected to become more frequent and unrelenting. 10 steps you can take to lower your carbon footprint. But even those who have never experienced this kind of extreme heat before have the potential to adapt to endure it better. Quote, our bodies are remarkable things, end quote, said Stefan Wheat, an emergency physician at the University of Washington School of Medicine who specializes in climate change and health. Quote, our bodies are well adapted to be able to acclimate to health under the right circumstances, end quote. Becoming more accustomed to hotter temperatures, though, takes time, and it shouldn't be attempted by going out in the heat and doing too much too quickly. Quote, someone who is exposed to a high heat index and is not acclimated will not have these adaptive measures in place and can suffer significant heat-related illness, end quote, Wheat said. Here are some ways to train your body to do better in the heat. Getting used to heat. The best way to build up your body's tolerance is by exposing yourself safely to short bouts of heat and humidity and gradually increasing the length of exposure, a process known as heat acclimatization, said W. Larry Kenny, a professor of physiology and kinesiology at Penn State. Allowing your body to experience heat through these repeated and controlled exposures, especially if you're doing physical activity, can trigger physiological adaptations that improve your ability to withstand hotter temperatures and can help lower the risk of heat-related illness and death, he said. For one, the body's plasma volume expands, increasing blood volume, he said. That means your heart doesn't have to work as hard and your body has more fluid to support sweating, a critical function to keep you cool, he said. As your body becomes more accustomed to heat, you should also be able to sweat more efficiently and retain electrolytes better. Some hallmarks of heat acclimatization include maintaining a lower heart rate and core temperature, as well as sweating more, particularly on your arms and legs, Kenny said. Quote, people who live in hot environments for most of their lives are already acclimatized, end quote, he added. But those who live in cooler environments can get there with some training. It can typically take about a week or two to become fully acclimatized, experts say. Quote, if you wait until the heat wave is upon us and it's extremely severe, it's probably too late and people should try to stay in air-conditioned environments, end quote, Kenny said. Quote, the best way to safely tolerate those heat wave conditions would be to prepare for them by heat acclimating ahead of time, end quote. How to build heat tolerance. Before starting, bear in mind that your body's ability to adapt can be affected by a variety of factors, including age, underlying medical conditions, and whether you're taking certain medications. Improving your fitness and staying well hydrated can also help you better tolerate heat, said Rebecca Stearns, Chief Operating Officer of the Corey Stringer Institute at the University of Connecticut. Here's how experts suggest building tolerance. 1. Ease in. For people starting at a lower baseline fitness level and whose bodies aren't adapted at all, Kenny recommends starting with 10 to 15 minutes on the first day and adding 5 minutes each subsequent day or every other day. Make sure you're only attempting a low level of physical activity, such as walking. Quote, you can't go out on that first hot day and jog around the block for half an hour, end quote, he said. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health also provides recommended acclimatization schedules for people who work outdoors. 2, move around. It's important to do physical activities during these heat exposures because it can help maximize the effects, Stern said. Quote, the degree to which you become heat acclimatized is going to depend on the amount of stress and the intensity of the exercise session that you're doing, end quote, she said. 3, listen to your body. Quote, if their body starts to tell them, I'm overheating, I'm feeling unwell, it's better to stop because your ability to gut it out really can't overcome physiology, end quote, Kenny said. There are heat and humidity levels that people cannot physiologically adapt to, even if they're healthy, said Kenny, who has studied those limits. His peer-reviewed research findings suggest that the limit for young, healthy people is around a wet bulb temperature of 88 degrees Fahrenheit, or 88 degrees at 100% relative humidity. 4. Rest. Remember, your body needs time to recover from heat stress, ideally by sleeping in a cool environment, Stern said. Without these recovery periods, your body can become less resilient to heat during later exposures, and you could be increasing your risk of heat illness, she said. Air conditioning is your friend, even if you're trying to get your body used to the heat. Quote, a lot of people are under the impression that if you regularly stay in air conditioning, that's a negative adaptation to heat waves, end quote, Kenny said. Quote, it's really the safest way to get through heat waves, and it's certainly possible to spend most of your time in air-conditioned environments and still acclimate yourself to the heat by going out periodically, end quote. Facts and figures. Study. Older dementia patients go to ER twice as often as other seniors. Older people with dementia seek care in the emergency room twice as often as their peers, a new analysis suggests, leading to what researchers call, quote, potentially avoidable and harmful visits, end quote, for some patients. The study, published July 24th in JAMA Neurology, examined data from the 2016 to 2019 National Hospital Ambulatory Medical Care Survey, which collects demographic and other information about a nationally representative sample of ER visits. About 1.4 million of the annual 20.4 million ER visits among adults over 65 involved patients with Alzheimer's disease and related dementias, researchers found. Patients with dementia presenting at the ER were more likely to be age 85 or older and female. The most common reasons for seeking care were accidents, 7.9%, behavioral disturbances, 7.4%, and general weakness, 5.3%. Once they got to the ER, patients with dementia were likelier to receive diagnostic tests such as CT scans and urinalysis, perhaps because of communication issues or behavioral concerns. They also were twice as likely to receive antipsychotic medication, which is cause for concern, the researchers write, because of the risk of taking such drugs and the potential for them to continue being used long term. Antipsychotics are associated with higher mortality risk and life-threatening falls in older adults. They were less likely to be prescribed opioids than their counterparts. The statistics reflect challenges in the daily lives of people with dementia who may behave erratically and often cannot communicate about their symptoms. Despite these challenges, the study says the ER is often not the best place to care for adults with dementia, due to long wait times, unfamiliar staff, and a potentially disorienting environment. The researchers call for better caregiver supports and the development of more geriatric-friendly emergency rooms, although they acknowledge that in some situations, emergency care is needed. Quote, while dementia is thought of as a cognitive or memory disorder, it is the behavioral aspects of the disease, such as anxiety, agitation, and sleep disturbances, that can cause the most stress for caregivers and patients alike, end quote. Study co-author Lauren B. Gerlach, a geriatric psychiatrist at Michigan Medicine and an assistant professor in psychiatry at the University of Michigan, said in a news release. Quote, emergency departments are often not the right place to manage these behaviors, end quote, she added. Quote, we really need to do better to support caregivers, so there are options other than seeking emergency care, end quote.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.